This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Come to order. You'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Oh. Next up's roll call. Nearly the entire board is in there. Yeah, I imagine either one of them could walk in any moment. Okay, thank you. I see most of the new board members here tonight. Thank you guys for being here. I appreciate the time you took out to come see us. So thank you guys. Buddy, we good on roll call? Got us checked. Okay. Next up is our public comment period. We have just the one, I guess, Cammy Kennedy. Come on down. I'll give you 5 minutes.
All right, sounds great.
Go from there.
Perfect. Thank you. I guess as we're sitting here today, I appreciate time and effort that you've done, and I've questioned myself coming forward and forth again, discussing the credit issue that we're going to be dealing with. And I guess part of it really comes down to, like, I was visiting with a good friend before I came out, like, why do I really care this much about this? I am at the point where I'm in that gap, or that group that Charles talked about, easily under the 5-year group that wants to. We'll be retiring. My kids are out of school. They had a wonderful education here and are doing great things. And so I wonder, question a little bit about my sanity, but I really do believe it comes down to that. It comes down to questioning. If you're in my class, you'll know that when we have group speakers come in or we go on field trips, it's about that. It's about asking questions. They have to get points for that. And I feel that there are still questions that within this discussion about the credits that I feel need to be asked in order to come up with the best solution for our students. And that's why I'm here today, is because of the students. And so with that idea in mind, I think there's some points that come into play. Like a wise person said, that the values of our community should drive our schedule. And as we think about those values, what are those values? I believe, you know, as we've looked at the opportunities that our students have been given with the 8-period day, I believe the basket of goods and the students that we have created have been extremely powerful. We've learned over the last couple months that the value of test scores is something that I know some good people behind us are going to talk about that and what that's going to be, but that's become something more valid. I mean, that's something that we have to look at more carefully going forward. And so that would be a value. But what I think someone also said, one of my favorite principals said, you have to care to confront. And I guess that's why I'm here, is I care enough about this issue to ask some of these questions. Like, we've heard the expense part. What questions that I have about this is the idea of where does the other side, out of those 150 students that we've lost, in what schools did we lose those 150 students? Within those 150 students, how many of those students would we need to bring back to order to have a break-even analysis. Like, what does that look like for us? Like, what challenge does that would could we meet in order to make that? What is the retirement plan? Like, when we're losing teachers, we know this is a funding situation. So when teachers are retiring, what is that? What does that plan look like for us financially? And what impact does that have on the overall scope of our budget? And so as we think about those questions, and I know Mr. Oski shared in one presentation, we are a year away from the proverbial cliff of when hard decisions have to be made. And I guess I would wonder and question if when this decision would have to be made, if it's potentially one of those that we could, you know, look at, you know, have this next year to study more deeply. Because there's a group of people, I mean, there's a reason why people have wondered about what is best for our students. And so please question. I appreciate Travis coming, and he asked some good questions, and I really do think that we're not here, the group of teachers and parents who have shared comments and concerns are not doing it just because they have nothing else to do tonight, right? I know they're contacting and thinking about you, like, because they do care about these things. So there are some questions I believe that we still have about this issue that touch, and we potentially have other solutions that we would like to explore. Thank you again for your time.
More questions? No? All right, thank you.
Did somebody write down their questions? Can you just briefly?
Yeah, I would like to know, like, the break-even part of this, because we've looked at the expense part, right? So where's the income side of it? Like, when we're analyzing business decisions.
So we have some of that information when the admin talks a little bit about where we want to be and why we want to be.
Right.
That's a question that's been posed at both the hearings at both Buffalo High School, along with multiple other questions between a lot of things. So we can have that. That's part of hopefully what I can answer tonight.
Okay, that'd be great.
Another question too. Bruce,
yeah, and then the retirement plan. Like, what is the? I mean, because we're looking at a staffing issue, and I know it's been shared in one of our meetings that we've looked at. Like, what is the cost savings in going from a 8-period day to a 7-period day? So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Anybody else? Okay. Next up, master schedule credit discussion. We're going to move Clear Creek Middle School first with permission from New West. They've got a time crunch, so we're going to jump into Clear Creek, please.
So Travis is the board chair. There has been a schedule that's been out for everybody presenting tonight, so that we're not here till midnight. If we kind of try to stay within that presentations and make sure we have plenty of time for questions and answers from the board, because this is their opportunity for you to ask questions and answers. So.
Sure.
Okay.
Perfect. I'll run 15-minute timers and well, I guess about 2 and 1. Good evening, guys.
Good evening. Thank you for having us. So it was presented to me a couple weeks ago that we needed to look at specifically how graduation credits would impact or the changing of schedules and such. 8 versus 7 and whatnot, how that would impact Clear Creek Middle School. And brought Jen Skaggs here today because, to be honest, she's probably one of the best understanding people of schedules in our district, and she's done this for a lot of years because we are the middle school that gets to share with everybody. We have teachers from the high school, from Cloud Peak, from Meadow Lark, and I tell you what, I've been at Clear Creek Middle School 17 years. This is my 18th year. Our number one goal is we just find a way. And we provide students with every opportunity on a daily basis. All the core subjects, the electives, the PE on a daily basis. In fact, we went to the decision of providing electives for our sixth graders, and they're changing quarters. Every quarter, they're going to new electives. So our number one thing, our number one mission is prepare middle school students to be ready for the next level, where they're experiencing every opportunity possible, and we want to make sure they're fit with PE every day. We want to make sure they're experiencing all electives, and as well as getting the supports needed to be successful at the high school level. So that's the number one philosophy with middle school. And that's something we've done with our schedules. We've always had a great opportunity to meet as cohorts, as teams, as within our grade level teams, within our subject teams, within our PLC teams. And we've always found a way to make that work. And the great thing with middle school teachers, they're always willing to meet at 7:15 and 4 o'clock as well to meet with students, with parents. And like I say, we just find a way to make it work. We want students to be ready to enter that next level. So, Jen, I'll pass off what else you would like to add.
I guess just if the board had any questions about the middle school schedule and if it impacts, would that be fair to open that? Do you guys have any questions?
Can I have every quarter, the sixth graders are changing electives.
So this year,
out of electives?
No, this year the elective teams came up with that because they wanted to expose more kids. So like if a kid leaves the middle school and has never been in a woodworking class,
yeah,
we find that devastating, right?
I do.
So, band is pretty set on it being a year long, so kids have that commitment. And then we just taught them that each class is like worth a quarter. Band's worth a dollar. They could have $2 worth of classes. So that we have two semester classes. So we actually had a ton of flexibility. We have a year-long band, semester choir, semester mission to Mars, and then the rest, there's 8 of them that are quarter classes. So a kid will either get all 8 quarter classes, they could get a 50-cent class, dollar, you know, whatever they want, whatever combination. And then that's how I spent the summer, was organizing it and making sure every kid got the classes they wanted. And it's worked out. I didn't know if it would work out, and it did. So, like, that was an outside-the-box thought that the elective teachers came up with last year.
So to help Jen and Ron, when we were at the last meeting, you asked as a board of trustees, what does this recommendation do and does it impact the middle school? So that's why they're here today.
Correct.
So just to answer any questions, I want to be very clear. Credits at the high school, they don't give credits for graduation unless it's a advanced course. I mean, there's those potentials is what that looks for. But tonight, it was just to ask questions. I think several of you asked, how's that going to be with shared staff between the middle school? So that's why they are mainly here tonight. It doesn't impact them with the shared staff piece and what that looks like.
So how many do you share, especially with the high school right now?
5, I believe.
Five?
We share Beth Bowden. Okay. We share music, so Tina and Skyla. We share Marshall Townsend.
Marshall's at the high school?
He's at
Cloud P.
And I'm missing
one. Oh,
Shrey. Just the high school? 3.
Yeah.
Oh, high school?
What?
3.
So Ms. Bowden
Bragg.
And 2 music.
And we easily, I work with the counselors at the high school to do scheduling, and we just look at, do you need them in the morning or do you need them in the afternoon? And we try to level, like, enough electives so that you have options in the morning and the afternoon. So, like, we have Julie Snyder in the afternoon, and we have Skyla in the morning. Or we have Skyla in the morning and Tina in the afternoon.
Have you ever had do core classes share at all? Like English, math? I mean, in the olden days, you did.
Yeah, I don't. We had that recently.
Can't remember.
All of our core classes are now, like social studies, we have 2 teachers and they teach all 3 grade levels.
2 teachers teach all 3 grade levels?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
How big are their class sizes?
It just depends on the grade. Like if there's 80 kids in a class, you know, you can look at 80 kids and say I can potentially put 20 in a classroom, but then it all depends on how it all lays out. Because like math, we have a low intervention class and then we have an advanced math class. So you might have 7 kids and 20 kids in advance.
It's never perfect. It just, you'd like to say, hey, we can divide into 4 sections, go 20, 20, 20, 20, but it's not going to ever work out that way. Sometimes you're going to have 23 and you're going to have 17.
So is it harder to share with the high school than it is with, like, Middlewood?
Basically, years ago, I think we just decided, like, at lunch, just kind of, as long as you stop the classes at lunch, people have transition time and lunch time to get to between areas.
How long of a transfer time do they have? Which, or like, how long is that lunch? Is it just that 30-minute lunch break? What
We have 20. We have the shortest lunch because yeah, we just do.
We're
we
about
decided 27 minutes.
We're at 27 minutes, which is plenty for middle school students. And they will travel on their lunch, and then sometimes you try to attach that planning as well, and they're just trying to do every two things at one time, and hopefully they can get to the next building and have about 30, 35 minutes to spare between a lunch and a plan time.
And I will advocate for traveling teachers. It's tough. Everyone wants to belong, and it's really hard to belong to two different buildings with two different expectations, two different staff meetings, two different... I mean, so we really, I feel, we worked hard to, like, I guess not me, but administration, to, like, cut down the amount of traveling teachers. Like, I think five is the most we have right now, and that's the least we've ever had, or maybe it's six. Because that is really hard just when you try to belong one place.
And the great thing with our schedule, again, too, is the majority of our electives in our building have that common time to meet, and I can meet with them and say, hey, this is what's going on at our school, and try to, again, just have that common ground to meet as a staff.
And another advantage of middle school is our core teachers, like our science teachers, if they only have four sections of science, let's just say, like Amanda Ruby this year is teaching a Mission to Mars class and a forensic science class. And so that's where we get to create different electives that maybe aren't offered in other places, because we have that core teacher who has that period. And like Ross Walker's doing Oreo, so he's taking kids how to fly ties and archery. And but that's where we get those creative classes, is just as a smaller class comes through, that teacher picks up an elective, teaches that elective, and we just kind of rotate that.
Mr. Chair, so bottom line, if the high school changes, will you have to change?
I don't believe
what I'm going to say, like 8 periods, 7 periods, you could stay 8 periods.
I believe we could, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
So can I just give an example of that? So like one of the schools, the high performing schools that we looked at, they were on a 7-period day, but their middle school's on a 10-period day. So they do have flexibility to do with what they still have. It's not that graduation time.
Okay.
Lynette,
please.
Thank you. I was the one that asked questions about the changing and what the impact and the down trickle, because everything there's a down trickle. And I just want to tell you that in your presentation, you answered every single question that I had. I like the details of knowing exactly how the cores work. I like the details of knowing the offers of the electives. So you were clear. The two of you represent, I believe, your school well, and that was my concern. I wanted to be sure that it was a conversation that went on with all staff and that everybody was clear. So thank you for coming. I appreciate you answering my questions up without me having to ask them, because I had them written down and you answered them. So thank
awesome.
You for that.
Okay.
Is there any other questions?
How many total electives will a 6th through 8th grade, when they leave 3rd grade, how many electives will they have?
So there's 2 periods of electives, and they're normally semester electives, so
okay.
They could have 4 a year, unless they're a band student, bands all year.
It's taking hold.
But now our 6th graders have those quarter ones,
quarter.
So they could have 8. Some are just taking choir and band, and then, you know, 4 other ones. And so that's a hard question to answer. It could
yeah.
be between this and this number.
Up to 8
yeah.
things that they can look at and see where their interests lie, where their
right.
comments lie.
And honestly, like in scheduling, when there's like our 8th grade class is 88 kids in it, so there's bigger sections, and so like they might have bigger classes or less options by 8th grade, because we're really exposing in 6th and 7th. And some of the 8th grade electives, if art is their passion, they might do an independent study in art. So we really, because by high school, when they start choosing those electives, we want to have them exposed at least to them.
Sure.
Is our goal.
And the challenge can be, by the time they're in 8th grade, they've taken a lot of electives, but we have teachers who are willing to go, hey, we can make this work for you. Maybe I've been in drone class before. I think we experienced that a little bit today with the student and said, well, okay, with this teacher said they would love to have you back, but they're going to work on this part of drones. So that's something our teachers do a really good job with.
And last year we had like 65 kids took athletic development with Mr. Hammond. So when we lost him, we had to pick up some extra electives to try to get the 8th graders excited about it.
Yeah.
Because that was a huge, like, kids wanted that, and it just was a class he created. It had 20 kids, and it turned into 60, and he was teaching 2 sections of it.
Wow.
That's
a
good class. Interesting. What's the minimum number of kids you have in any elective?
I'll be honest, our 7th grade is our smallest class, and so There are some seventh grade in the afternoon because it's opposite a band that has like five kids in it. And that's, like, we don't want that. We want 10 at least in a class. In cooking, we do 12 because there's four kitchens and they put three kids in each kitchen. Drone, we do like 16 to 18 depending on like what materials we have. So a lot of it is tied to the materials. But when you put any class opposite a band, it's just more difficult because band numbers fluctuate between 20 to 40 kids in that, depending on that grade level.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Anything else? Charles, anything else?
No, this is for you as a board. Thanks.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
You cleared up. I thought you guys shared.
No, over the years, it's definitely gotten much lower in shared staff.
I would say over the last couple of years, we've tried to really narrow down the amount of driving between, mm-hmm. is that the fair way to say it, the amount of movement between
it's hard
buildings,
on staff.
Because that was one of the things that's pointed out the second year, is it's hard on staff to go back and forth from the building in one day.
Thank you. Or anything else? You doing? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for the adjustment in the schedule.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that, Dr. Hansen, you are up.
And then we three.
Then we will come with KC.
Evening.
Hi.
So, for the benefit of folks who are new here, I'm Mike Hansen. I'm the principal at New West High School. We've been there for 5 years. I've been with the district for 14 years. And
I'm Julie Heil. I'm a special ed teacher and school counselor at New West.
And this is apparently the New West side of the room. The rest of the New West staff, aside from Chef Sam Bayless, are here, and we've got some parents along as well, in case the board would have any questions for them along the way. I thought you can go right to the parents in case you're wondering about the specifics of any of the things that we talk about. Heidi's going to get my PowerPoint going up there. Start from the beginning. You can just click slideshow. Make sure we go the right way.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry. Public. I can't look it up.
I do not get one on both sides.
Me too.
Can you? Okay. Okay. I almost brought my own clicker.
Nice.
Didn't I? So, thought we'd provide a little bit of background, just so folks know where we've come from, where we're at, and where we're headed. The box there is a slide from the presentation that I gave 5 years ago, March 2019, that talked about what we could do if we had an alternative school in Johnson County. And I'll read it. Each and every one of our students needs to know that we understand them, we value them, and we want them here. They don't need a watered-down high school program. They need a program built from the ground up just for them. And so that's what we've done. We said there's two things we want to do. We want to make sure that our students get to graduation through a meaningful and relevant curriculum, and we want all of our students to express increased satisfaction in the way that they get to graduation. So it's not all about accumulating the credits and getting to the finish line. The quality of the experience getting to the finish line is just as important. The question is, why do students choose New West High School? Well, like we said, one of our goals is for our students to express increased satisfaction with their experience. One of our goals is for them to say that their experience was meaningful and relevant. Here are the numbers over the last 3 years. They do exit interviews with all of our seniors. I felt a little silly typing 100 there repeatedly. But I think it expresses something important. You can click like four times. So these are some of the other comments that came up. I think there's one more. In the exit interviews with students. So I don't need to read all of that to you. But this is more than an expression of, that seems like an easier school to go to, or, boy, 4 days sure seems like better than 5 days. This doesn't express that. What you see here is the, I guess, a couple of paragraphs from the presentation that I gave on June 8th of 2020. This was the rationale for adopting the current graduation requirements that New West has and that the board accepted at that time. I highlighted in yellow the things that I thought were most pertinent tonight. One, we acknowledge the individuality of the learning process and the importance of student well-being, and also we have an alternative school because we acknowledge the increased challenges that many of our students face. And so the stuff in the middle is where we're at credit-wise, and you no doubt have some understanding of that already. So I'm going to be blunt, and I've already expressed this to you as a board. It's my belief that the way that this has rolled out and recent communications specifically impacting New West have undermined our staff's morale by explicitly not including us in really important information. For example, we didn't find out that we were even included in this discussion about the number of credits required for graduation until 2 hours before the last work session. And Mr. Board Chair, you were in there for part of the discussion that I had with Mr. Oski about that. To me, that's inappropriate. That's working around the people over here that work every day with students who are most at risk of leaving our schools. So that's the number one thing that I think impacts New West High School regarding these things. So when we're talking about credits, this is just the math here, and you've seen some of this to a certain extent before. This has been expressed to you. I think maybe Dr. Miller brought some of this math up before. When a school has 8 periods, you multiply that by 4, like Buffalo High School has right now, students have 32 option for 32 credits total. And they can even go above and beyond that, as we know. So we require 28 credits there. Sorry, can you go back? It looked like I was gesturing for you to move on. 7 periods, multiply that out. In yellow there, that's what New West has. We run a 6-period day over 4 years, which would be a total of 24 credits. We subtract 4 like you do with the other schedules. Voila, you come up with 20. Thanks, Eddie. So more specifically, if we would logically switch to a 7-period schedule in order to accommodate, you know, going to a 24-credit requirement, as it stands, we would actually lose instructional time, especially across the core classes. And that's even with only having 144 school days. So if you just multiply it out, I know it seems interesting, doesn't it, Lynette?
Yeah.
I will. So 144 times 60, got to switch to my readers here. Wrong page. Well, you get 144. It's 144 hours, right? 175 times 45 is 131.25. So that's where, that's 8 periods right now. If we made that switch to a 7-period, right, we'd have to subtract a certain amount of hours, and it's 13 hours. So, and I do have all that here, too, if you want to see that, but you guys can do the math as well. So, thanks, Heidi. Oh, look, I have it right there. Hey, I got ahead of myself. So there's a whole bunch of math for you. So Buffalo High School at 175 days, 45-minute class length. You can see what that goes to. You can see Powell High School. Underneath each of the district's traditional high schools are their alternative schools. A couple things I would point out. Skyline Academy, which is Pinedale's alternative school. You can see it says core course days 34. That's not an error. They only enroll their students in one core class at a time for 17 days. And so, just so it's comparative, I just multiplied that by two. And so they get 136 hours total. That's an interesting concept. But they've used it for a little while there. So that's sort of the one outlier there. Thanks, Heidi. Another thing, and I'll have Julie talk about this a little bit, it would decrease our schedule flexibility. And one of, you know, when we first started New West, the idea was we weren't going to run class periods. We were going to have students working on projects and earning credits, you know, at their own pace. Tara and I figured out that we need to put a little more structure around that. And, you know, really quickly, I think it was the second year, so we landed on six periods. Run the schedule as we have it right now does allow our students to do do things like repeat an Algebra 1 class. And I'm going to hand it to you for a minute to talk about some of the ways we do flexibility there.
Okay. I just kind of thought about maybe some of the more common reasons why we need some flexibility in our scheduling, and that the 20 credits allows for that. Like Mike said, we've had a handful of instances where students have come from their prior school environment passing Algebra 1 with like a 60 or 61%. That doesn't feel really great to put a student with two semesters of Algebra 1 with a 60% in the next level math class, which is usually GeoTrig or Algebra 2. And so then we would look at their YTOP scores to see like maybe what was going on. And if the data matches the grade of 60%, which is going to be a below basic score on the YTOP, there's been a handful of times where we've talked with those parents and those kids and asked them to retake Alg 1 just so that they have more solid math skills before they move up. They essentially don't get credit for that class because you can't get credit twice for the same class. So they're kind of giving up a credit, but in the long run it helps them to be more solid math students. Another example would be we have had many students that are helping support their families by working sometimes up to full-time hours and going to high school. Sometimes they are supporting themselves even, or living independently, and we don't ever want them to have to make a decision between getting their high school diploma and working full-time. So we can be more flexible with their scheduling by giving them like a release period in the morning or work release in the afternoon. About 50% of our students that come to us have failed 12 or more semester courses in their prior school environments. So we're doing a lot of recovery with those students and asking them to have the same credit requirements for graduation. Sometimes would make graduation an impossibility for them, or they don't want to spend more than an extra semester to get their diploma. All of the research about dropout rates tells us that students are typically unwilling to spend more than one extra semester beyond their cohort year of graduation. So when we can be flexible and kind of meet them in the middle, we're going to have a much better success rate with those kids. And lastly, I guess what I would also say is that we really want to focus on their personal goals. And our school is largely based on a personal learning plan for each and every student, much like an IEP would be for a student with a disability. We kind of treat kids all the same way, and that they all have a goal, a vocational dream, and strengths and weaknesses. And we want to work toward their strengths, and when we can be creative with the scheduling, it allows us to do that.
So. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah.
I think that's mostly what Julie said there, where it says this table, et cetera. The handout that I provided you there, it has I think there's a couple pages of what are commonly accepted at-risk factors for students, separated into those categories that are in blue up on the board. And all of that is to say, and the reason why I just handed that out, one, I didn't want to have to click between windows up there. Two, just so that you know, all of the myriad ways that this our staff needs to address all those factors. There's a lot of things there. And you see in the boxes, sometimes things show up multiple times, right? But all of the actions and activities that we take as a staff for the students are designed specifically to address those things. They're not accidental. They take a lot of thought, and they've taken a lot of planning over the years. It's taken a lot to arrive at where we're at currently. So that's why I handed that out to y'all, so you can see that. Okay. So to summarize where we're at on the 20 versus 24 credit scenario, thing number one for y'all to know, families choose New West High School not because of low credit requirements or the four-day week. They know that we have an excellent high school. We've built that reputation over 5 years. I mentioned the middle thing. You can read that again if you want to. But lastly, there's no reason for us to decrease instructional time nor our flexibility. We need those things. We understand those to be the best for our students. That's not the sole topic here. But before I move on to these things, which you can see, I know a couple of our parents were willing to talk about maybe why their students are at New West. So if the board would like to hear from them. Chuck, I don't
know. I prepared a few notes, but I assure you, board members and chairman, that I'm speaking from my heart.
Okay.
This is just to simply keep me on track.
Fair enough. We've got about 9 more minutes.
This is take 2. My name is Chuck.
Yeah.
My name is Chuck Dunnigan. This is my wife, Wendy. Our son, Joey, attends New West High School. He's a junior this year. He initially attended Buffalo High School for his freshman year, and he struggled to keep up scholastically. He was not engaged socially, and he really seemed overwhelmed. And his grades reflected that. They were awful. Although we had no complaints about his teachers or the school in any way, he just didn't seem to fit in well. He barely scraped through that year, and we were concerned about the trajectory of his education, frankly. Some friends of ours told us about New West and how their son had been thriving there and showed great strides in education and his grades and in his maturity, and so we applied to attend there. I was really pleasantly surprised that they have an application process and that it's not just a default. You can't make it here, you go here. There was an application and an interview of both us and of Joey separately. So I could see that what they're doing, they take seriously. Anyway, since then, Joey's grades have improved substantially. He interacts with his teachers and school staff in a way that he hadn't prior to attending New West. He's very much more enthusiastic about his school and the subjects he's learning. He enjoys learning and engaging in a meaningful way. And this is very important for him and his personality. He's able to express his opinions and his perceptions while at the same time learning new perspectives and an appreciation for the subject matter at hand. Joey appreciates the way he feels like part of the process, where there's an opportunity for more personal teaching and learning. And now we hear from him daily about his interactions at school, the subject matters, the activities that they're involved in. And that has certainly been a very pleasant thing for us. As a parent of a kid who struggled to succeed in the conventional high school environment, we're very, very grateful for the existence of such a wonderful place as New West High School. And our son has gone from struggling to thriving. And I share this with you here this evening, not just as a parent, but as a former high school student, albeit, a couple of decades ago. I dropped out of high school twice and got kicked out once. And I never did graduate high school. I managed to eke out a GED equivalent somehow. Yeah, but had a program like this been available with the people that I know now that I've been so blessed to have in my kid's life, I guarantee you my high school trajectory would have been different. And I would have seen the educational process in a much more valued way. So Anyway, I appreciate your time tonight and listening to me. And I can't say enough good things about the program. Nothing's perfect, but I agree 100% with Dr. Hansen when he said, at least for a guy like me and my kid, credits are a measure, but it's a very one-dimensional measure. Some kids succeed in their own ways, and some kids are able to follow the main track. And anyway, New West has just been a fantastic thing for us and our family, so thank you.
All right, board questions.
I'm not sure if you have the answer for this one, but Charles, maybe you could. And maybe you do, Casey, I don't know. But because we've been on this committee together, what, did we talk about that New West had to increase their credits? Because I don't remember that discussion.
So you have not, but part of the discussion, if you don't mind, but this is Mike's time. I'll answer some of those questions where we're at here. But I also want to remind the journey is, if staff over there feels like I'm demoralizing them, then I don't know where that came from, because this has been a conversation for 2 years. But I will tell you, I've never told New West no to any PD. We've tried to do as much as we can with New West. Dr. Hansen, when I first got here in 2021, when the state came to me and said, why is New West only a 10, 11, 12, and this reporting doesn't do, we allowed it to go to a 9, 12, which is part of where the conversation comes into, is because if we're going to revisit the credits at BHS, which is graduation credits, I got to give credit to BHS, because they came to me and said, if we're going to do this across the board, why aren't we reevaluating everybody? If you've seen the recommendations that I put out to everybody consistently across to you as a board of trustees, is that if it's a truly a credit recovery, because I heard that 12 credit deficit at the high school, 20 credits makes sense. But I also have a right to speak for BHS when they said, we're competing, and I never talked about that. In any of my conversations, I always talk about charter schools, virtual schools, some other things. But I just want to be very clear. We have not had that conversation about New West, but the conversation has been, and I've got a history. Actually, I should have went and looked at the history when I first took this job and you assigned me to do this. There's a history here. You've been doing this since 2015. There's been a conversation about 5-day week, 4-day week, trimester, all of that stuff in seventh period. So this is nothing new. But what everybody didn't realize is any of those master schedules that are focused on at BHS impacts graduation schedules or graduation credits. So as we got to that point,
there will be some time to address that. So yep.
But I want to hear, 2 years we've been working with BHS, yes. But it came down to graduation credits in order to work with that.
So we can ask some questions.
Yes, please.
Okay, I have just a couple. One is, are all the percentage of your students, our students, credit recovery?
Of the 58 graduates we've had, there's only been 7 students who hadn't failed a class previously.
What about right now? What is our percentage of our students probably?
That are recovering credit?
Mm-hmm.
So we have 8 students who came to us as freshmen with Joey's class.
Okay.
So they wouldn't be recovering anything.
Okay.
You wouldn't include any numbers. If the question is about credit recovery, students who came in as freshmen aren't recovering any credit.
There have been a couple that have failed a course at
New
West, too. That happens in our school sometimes, and they are, so they're recovering that.
So just looking at credits and stuff, I was just wondering, if they repeat a class, can they use that as an elective?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So they do can. They're just not sitting time. They can get some credit even. Okay, great. I guess, too, I'd like to kind of go back to your one statement. Dr. Hansen, have you ever had just a one-on-one sit-down with the superintendent over your of that statement that you've made up there?
We've had conversations about communication between the superintendent's office and New West.
But have you addressed that one statement that was made up there, how you felt?
I asked at the end of the public meeting last week, I told the superintendent that I expected an apology to New West for the comments that he made during that meeting, which I felt.
And this isn't the time to address that.
To me.
No, but let me. I just. Well, I just want to know. Really, it's just yes or no. And the other thing is, not to put your heart at rest. I was at that meeting, and I never heard anything like that. So
again, that is not the time for this one. Let us ask questions, please, regarding the credits.
But he brought it up on the deal, and I just want to kind of defend our superintendent in saying, I never heard that.
That's
okay, thank you.
I agree entirely.
Thank you.
But, case B, things to do with credits and time help me understand that seven credits seems to me to be an advantage for credit recovery students. If they're now needing six and we have an opportunity for an extra each go.
I was hoping you'd ask
that
about
that. Seemed like it would help you.
So the word credit has no meaning. So that's in all of this. And I had like 10 more slides that we could have talked about, and I thought I wouldn't put us all through that. The state doesn't define what a credit is. I touched base with Dr. Miller about whether or not JCSD1 had a definition as to what a credit was, and Dr. Miller didn't think that we had something on the books about that. The state uses the term years. So a student needs 4 years of English, 3 years of math, 3 years of science. And so I said, well, what does that mean? Because clearly they don't mean 365 days. They mean something else by that. So I contacted Lori Hernandez at the Wyoming Department of Education. I said, what do you mean by that? And I have that. So I can tell you what she means by that, or what the state means by that. Here it is. Very small. So back to my readers. The State Board of Education is currently amending Chapter 31, and this topic has been a discussion in many areas. We, that is the WDE and SBE, have interpreted years to fully include the set of standards adopted and not actual years of courses. For example, if a course sufficiently covers the Algebra 1 standard in a shorter time span than a year, that would be fine. Districts can decide how to offer courses and implement their standards in their curriculum, instruction, and district assessment system. Which means, you know, we can say if a student demonstrates competencies across the standards, and we've had this kind of discussion in various formats before, then they can have credit for that. That would be the state's position in that area. Even within a school, what is being taught, and we've been doing some work within our PLCs and our work with Mitch Kraft about refining our promise standards and essential standards and all those things to create consistencies between classes. But even within a school, it's very difficult to say this is exactly what's being taught from course to course, let alone between high schools in a district and certainly across the state. As an example, Powell does have an alternative school called Shoshone Learning Center. They only have one teacher there, which is why I think they only have 22 students on the books. They operate on computers, and so they're able to push their kids through semester credit long classes in a quarter, and so they recover credit that way. I don't know if that's what this community wants from their alternative school, or if they would prefer to have their students working one-on-one with teachers, but certainly that experience is different substantially from the experience of working with teachers. So, to the question, seven credits, six credits, we feel that we're doing so much remediation, asking our kids to get so much done within the confines of the classroom, that having an hour, plus a little bit to get their work done in class is better than a shorter amount of time in a seven period day.
Okay, well, just to keep the thing at an apple-to-apple comparison, you used the six credits and showed us the math right there at first. So assume that's the definition of a credit. How does it one more not help you recover if you enter in a deficit? So just say we're going to equal them all out just so we can common denominator.
Are you asking to go from a six-period day to a seven-period day?
Yes, and if you have a student enter in a 12-credit deficit, what is the term that you used, I believe? How does that not assist this student in getting another credit? If they have one more opportunity, doesn't that help close that credit recovery that we're speaking of?
If you're only talking about numbers, right? If you're talking about ensuring that the...
My question, I'm simply asking you a math question. It seems like an advantage.
Potentially. I mean, if you're just... but also, you're not aiming at 20, you're aiming at 24, right? So there would be that consideration. I had a conversation with a counselor at Buffalo High School today about a junior who's got 11 credits. Makes it difficult, right? If not impossible, to reach 28, 24 credits. 20 credits might be doable for a student in that position, or maybe not, too, right? I mean, that's a possibility as well. But again, I guess I would say that it's not all about the quantity, but it's the quality within there. Thanks for the question.
Yes, please.
I just have a couple clarifications, and I'll be brief. For one, it honestly, for lack of a better word, kind of pisses me off that you used this venue to say that we have essentially demoralized your staff and that you felt you had to defend your school.
Yeah.
Because
this is an executive.
Your school is loved and treasured by this district. Your staff is loved and treasured, and so are your kids. I don't listen too close, Casey, but New West is kind of my favorite school. I find that really offensive because we do love New West School very much, and we appreciate you.
We can do some of that in executive.
No, okay.
Let's talk about credits and schedules here.
Well, that's
for this
what
course.
I was trying to.
Dave, go ahead. Yes, if you got credits and schedule questions,
I haven't
please.
Heard any discussion of New West being bumped to 24. The most discussion I had ever heard, unless I completely missed something, was that the spread between 28 and 20 is pretty significant and that was worth addressing. That did not mean a change towards New West necessarily. While it is a district-wide policy, I think everyone was cognizant of the fact that with an alternative school and alternative schedules, that things might not be exactly the same. That's all I have.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, other questions with schedules and credits or other schedule and credit information that needs kicked? Anybody?
I have one.
Please.
You mentioned one time about they can get a quarter of a credit for if they're there 4 years. Do you remember that?
Oh, you and I were having a conversation.
What is that?
So one of the credit requirements that's specific to New West is earning credit in social emotional learning, right? We have students
that
come in.
Class, or is that just
we've done it in various ways over the years. Okay. Right now what we have is we have 20 minutes attached to our second period that we call team time. And within that we work on critical thinking skills, problem solving skills, collaborating with peers, all of those sorts of things. And so there's credit attached to that.
Okay.
And that's very common. Alternative schools do that in various ways across the state.
They do at Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, guys, to keep us on schedule, thank you. Appreciate